Good evening, everyone.
It has been a blessed Sabbath indeed. It looks like the sun is about to go down. Is that about sundown here in the mountains? It's gone? 8:44. I just want to remind you, this morning you were given this little packet, Television That Changes Lives. In there is an envelope. I'm not going to ask you for an offering. But if you would like, tonight I'm going to give a condensed version of a message. If you would like the three-part series of that message on DVD, you can take that envelope, you can check free DVD, write your name and address, and give that to me in the ABC at between 9 and 10:30 this evening, okay? If you mail it where it says no postage necessary, I found out it costs us about $1.40 to get your letter. So just hand it to me and say, I just saved you $1.40. I'd be happy to take those back to our team and we'll send out that DVD to you. Please continue to remember Hope Channel in your prayers. As I mentioned this morning, and I'll share a little of my testimony during this message, I was a volunteer for 9 years until 2 months ago today, April 11. I was called out of the auditorium, and they said, we would like to ask you to become the president of Hope Channel. That evening, I said, when does it start? They said, it just started. So will you pray for us? We have an opportunity with no fences. This gospel of the kingdom will go as a witness to all nations. And then what's going to happen, brother? The end will come. So I want to invite you to partner with us in all of these various ministries we've been hearing about. Let's share what God's doing and let's capture some of those things and share them with the world. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. We've talked about three essential elements of deeper yet. You know, allowing God's word to be more than a book on our shelf, but to be his word in our hearts. I'm going to teach you another scripture song tonight. This morning we talked about the gift of praying in the name of Jesus. Not just to get requests answered, but to bring honor to the name of Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. Tonight I want to talk to you about joining the Lord of the harvest in his work. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that if we're going deeper yet, it will involve joining with you in your mission to share the good news about Jesus, his love, his salvation, his soon return with a dying world. And so I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us understanding hearts tonight as we reflect upon your word. We've had a full day, but I pray this word would find a place in our hearts and that you would show us what you want us to do. Work in us in powerful ways, that you would work through us in miraculous ways. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever prayed a strong prayer? The prayer I'm going to share with you tonight as we think about mission is a very strong prayer. It's not a cookie-cutter prayer because God could throw you to Beckley. God could throw you from Peru to Morgantown. God could throw you from here to China. But God has a special mission for you, and he knows where you'll be most effective in his work. I'm going to share that kind of strong prayer with you tonight. I have to confess to you that I did not grow up praying strong prayers. I don't know why. I'm not complaining. But I remember the first prayer that I learned. We used to sing it, actually. It went like this. Thank you for the world so sweet. Any of you know that prayer? Thank you for the food we eat. No? Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. It's an okay prayer, But, you know, it's just a little prayer, and somehow I just kept praying those little prayers. I remember praying one day without thinking, you know, thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the birds we eat. And I was a vegetarian. Just, you know, praying without thinking. I learned another little prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. Who wrote that prayer? That's not a nice prayer. I was taught that as a child. Anyone here taught that? Now I lay me down to sleep. The first part is okay. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It sounds all right. But then it says, if I die before I wake. Have a nice night, Derek. I mean, who wrote that? I pray the Lord my soul to take. We learn these little prayers. I shouldn't speak for you. I learned these little prayers, and I got stuck there. When I believe that God wants us, in Jesus' name, to pray bold prayers, the kind of prayer that Elijah prayed when he stretched out his body over a lifeless child and said, oh, Lord, my God, let this child's breath return to him. Three times he prayed, and the child was raised to life. The kind of prayer that Jesus prayed when a little boy came with five loaves and two fish, and Jesus didn't just say, thank you for the world so sweet, and thank you for the food we eat, and eat the lunch, did he? He prayed a strong prayer, and 5,000 men, plus women and children, had food to eat, and 12 baskets left over. I said, oh Lord, teach me to pray strong prayers in the name of Jesus. Well, the prayer I want to share with you tonight is a strong prayer, and I'm going to teach you a scripture song because the prayer is embedded in it. If you'll remember this song, it's a simple melody taken from Luke 10 and verse 2 and John 4, 35. You will have the message from this evening. So let's play the music and see if we can learn it together. A little louder, please. Thank you. Here we go.
The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few.
Sing it with me.
The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
Therefore pray.
Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, into his harvest. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
John 4:35.
Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest.
With me now.
The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
And so we pray.
Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest send out laborers. Therefore pray the Lord. Lord of the harvest, to send our laborers.
Therefore pray
the Lord of the harvest, to send our laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest, to send our laborers.
God's people said, you sound like a great choir. You know, I was thinking as we were singing that part of that harvest field is Beckley in 4 weeks. And Jesus begins by saying, the harvest truly is what? It's great. Now, what's the harvest that he's talking about, anyone? That's right. Men and women, boys and girls, just waiting for the invitation to become a part of his kingdom. He says, I want to tell you, he's about to send out the 70. He's already sent out the 12, now the 70 to every town and village where he's about to go. And he's wanting them to realize that the harvest truly is what? It's great. Now, why does he tell us it's great? I wish I had half an hour to answer that, but I told you that I've got a free DVD for you, right? That's going to have a 3-part series. So I wish I could spend a half an hour on that one topic of why he tells us. But trust me, he knows, because he's the Lord of the harvest, isn't he? And he says, I see what you don't see in your town. I see what you may not see in your family or at your workplace or school. Because when I look, I see that the harvest truly is what? People just waiting for the invitation. Now, that's the radical perspective. But there's a problem, according to the song, the scripture song we just sang. He said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. So now, why is it that the laborers are few? Maybe the Lord of the harvest made a mistake. What do you think? Maybe he underestimated and didn't call enough laborers. Maybe we should blame God. What do you think? You say, no, Pastor Derek. How many are called to be laborers in the harvest? Everyone who is a follower of Jesus, he says, go and I will be with you always, even until when? That's right. It's not just for the 70. It's even until the end of the age. So the problem is not that there are too few laborers. The problem is that there are too few laboring laborers. We have become distracted. I wish I had half an hour to tell you about the radical problem, but you can watch that in the 3-part video, which I would love to give to you. Come meet with me at the ABC afterwards. I'd love to share that. Give me that form. But I want to move on to the 3rd part, because this is the prayer that changed my life, and I had to pray it 2 months ago today as I was walking past the video wall at the Hope Channel. Because Jesus said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are. Therefore, Jesus said, we sang it in the song, pray the Lord of the harvest. Now, there are several verbs in Greek. This is New Testament Greek, koine, as was mentioned to us by Jerry this morning, the Greek of the common people. There are several verbs that can be translated pray, to make a request, to express a desire. The verb here is deomai. It means to beg, to beg. It's used when the leper came to Jesus, and it says he begged him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. It's used when the demoniac, now set free from a legion of demons, Luke 8, comes to Jesus. It says he begged him that he could go with him. It's a very strong verb. It's not just, let's have a little prayer. No, no. It's crying out to God, begging the Lord of the harvest. Now, someone might say, Derek, wait a minute. I thought the Lord of the harvest wanted the harvest work done. So why do we have to beg him? Are we trying to change God's heart? What's the answer? Whose heart needs to change? It's our heart that needs to change. You're right, brother. And what we're doing, listen to me carefully, when we cry out to the Lord of the harvest, We're not trying to change his heart. We're giving him permission to what? Change our hearts. You see, what's going to happen, my sister? God wants to use you to change the world. Brother, God wants to use you to tear down the strongholds of the enemy. And when Satan comes and says, "How dare you use that woman so powerfully?" the Lord will say, "My child cried out to me." We've given God, you know, someone came to me one time. They were a little upset. They said, "God is sovereign of the universe. We have to give him permission? I mean, he rules between the cherubim. We have to give him permission?" What's the answer? Well, it depends on your theology. But if you believe we have a free choice, if you believe in the freedom of the human will, God will not force his way into your life. He won't even force you to be saved, though he loves you with an everlasting love. We have a choice to make, don't we? We give him permission. We say, "Lord, the harvest, I believe you, the harvest truly is what? But the laborers are..." So I'm crying out to you not to change your heart, but to give you permission to change my heart, because I want you to use me in your harvest work. And then comes a very powerful word, and we sang it in the song. And here the Bible translators mistranslate the text. And I really don't understand this, to be honest with you, because they know what it says. I don't know why they don't tell us what Jesus asked us to pray. Maybe it's too radical. And so instead of saying, "Beg the Lord of the harvest," they say, "Pray." But they say, "Pray the Lord of the harvest." We sang it, didn't we? We were singing from the New King James. "To send out laborers." It sounds so sweet. Send out laborers. But that's not what the text says. The verb "to send out" in Greek is the verb apostello. We get the English word apostle. That's right. Apostolos. Apostello means to send out. It's in verse 1. He sent out the 70. It's in verse 3. "I send you out as lambs among wolves." But it's not in verse 2. It's not the prayer. It's not "beg the Lord to send out." That's not what it says. It uses a much stronger word. And I'm only beginning to understand the significance. It says "beg the Lord." And the verb that's used in the text is ek. Balo. Now, balo means to throw. When they threw the nets out of the ship, when they were fishing, balo is used. When the sower cast the seed, balo is used. Balo means to what? To throw. But there's a prefix, those of you who are linguists. You've got balo, which means to throw, and the prefix ek means out. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to put those two words together. If balo means to throw and ek means out, ek balo means to, it's strong, isn't it? To throw out. That word is used more than 30 times in the New Testament, to cast out demons. That's a strong word. "Shut up and get out," Jesus said. He cast out the demon. It's a strong word. It's the word that's used when Jesus cleansed the temple. He went and they'd made it a marketplace, John chapter 2. It says he made a whip out of cords and he sent them out. Is that what it says? What does it say? Do you remember in your Bible? My Bible says he drove them out. He cast them out. Would you like to guess what word that is? Ekbalo. Yes, it's a very strong word. You say, "Lord, I don't know if I want to pray that prayer." By the way, you can't just pray that prayer. Well, here's Juliet on the front row. She's going to be speaking this week, right, with Andre. You know, hallelujah, throw her out. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh, let's see here. Who else do I know? Stephen, right? And Donna, right? Donna, yes, both of you. Hallelujah, throw them out. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I do believe that God wants to throw you all out. But I don't think you can just cry out to God to throw out laborers without saying, "And Lord, you have my permission to begin with me." You say, "But Derek, what's going to happen to me if I say, 'Lord, I don't just want to try to sit on my hands and stay out of trouble till Jesus comes. I believe you want to use me to finish the work so that Jesus can come back. Because the harvest truly is what? But the laborers are. So I'm going to cry out to you. I'm going to give you permission. In fact, I'm going to beg you to throw out laborers into your harvest. And you have my permission to begin with me. And here's the amazing part of the story. Jesus prayed that prayer. It took me years to find that. But Jesus prayed that prayer. You read about the temptations in Matthew. It says that Jesus was led by the Spirit, you remember, into the wilderness. And after 40 days, he hungered, right? But Mark records it differently. If you have your Bible, look in Mark chapter 1 and verse 12. I never understood this when I read it years ago. That's because the translators, well, they translate the same word in different ways to confuse us, I think. What does your Bible say in Mark 1 and verse 12? Immediately, the Spirit, what does it say in your Bible? Immediately, if it says sent, that's another bad translation. Immediately, the Spirit, my Bible says, drove him into the wilderness. Would you like to guess what word that is in the Greek text? It's ekbalo. Now listen to me carefully. If God never forces us to do anything, and the Spirit ekbaloed Jesus into his ministry, that means Jesus gave him permission. Jesus prayed the radical prayer. No wonder, having prayed, Father, the harvest truly is, but the laborers are. So I beg you, Father, to throw out laborers into your harvest. And Father, you have my permission to begin with me. No wonder Jesus would then say to the 12, pray this prayer. Give God permission to throw you out into his harvest. To the 70, pray this prayer. Cry to the Lord of the harvest to throw you out. And to us tonight, that he would say, don't just sit around. You are not here just to make a living. You are here to make a difference for the kingdom. So cry out. Let the Lord of the harvest throw you out. Now, the wonderful thing is that he knows exactly where you'll be most effective, whether it's Malawi or Pennsylvania, right? The Lord knows where you'll be most effective. Now, it was 17 years ago that I discovered this passage. And I was very happy teaching at Southern Adventist University. Has anybody been to Southern Adventist University? Why, they call that place Happy Valley. Who wouldn't want to live in Happy Valley? I've been teaching there for 13 years. I loved it there. They even have a cemetery there where you can wait until Jesus comes. Who would want to leave Happy Valley? But I saw this prayer and I said, Lord, if you want me here, I want to be here. But actually, I want you to throw me out wherever you want me to be, whether it's here or somewhere else. Yeah, that's a dangerous prayer to pray. If you want to just be safe, just pray, dear Jesus, help me to have a nice day. Amen. But what a waste when God wants to use you to change the world. Lord of the harvest, I beg you to throw out laborers, and you have my permission to begin with me. And God uprooted us. I say us because my wife and I, you know, when you are married, you are no longer two but one. So praise God, he threw us out together. Amen? I'm so happy. We both got thrown all the way from beautiful Tennessee to a barren region of Southern California. I'm sorry to describe it as a barren region, but where I lived was barren. We landed there. Tried to get our bearing. We were there for 3.5 years. God taught us some important lessons there. I suppose we could have stayed there. They said, you're about an hour from anything. An hour from the mountains, an hour from the desert, an hour from the ocean. We had just started building a house there. It was shocking. Just the building permits were $35,000. All of our savings with little pipes sticking up out of the ground. No house. And the Lord of the harvest said, I want you to go from California to Orlando, Florida. I thought, no way, my wife has planned this house for 2 years. She's not going to just leave all of those pipes in the ground. Why, no. Do you know, my wife shocked me. She said, God didn't send us to California to build a house. You know, God didn't bring us to planet Earth to build houses, did he? She said, God didn't bring us to California to build a house, and we ought not to stay here just to build a house. Amen? We got thrown all the way to Orlando. We saw more miracles in Orlando, Florida in the next 6 years than I've seen in my life. I mean, amazing thing happened. Like a lady who came up to me and said, I'd like to give you a check to help with ministry of the church. And she gave me a check for $100,000. Whoa, I thought I better check to make sure she's mentally stable. Wasn't that? You're not supposed to take advantage of widows and orphans, right? So I asked her, she was married, and she said, well, no, we both have a good pension. Our house is paid for. Listen to me. She said, I was just waiting for an opportunity to make a difference. Hallelujah. She prayed the radical prayer herself. Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'll just go. It was there at Forest Lake Church that Hope Sabbath School was born. We had no idea it would become a global program with more than 1 million people. Sometimes I'd get tired and say to my wife, who's the volunteer executive producer, I'd say, I'm tired. She says, that's the most important thing you do. I said, really? I'm pastoring a large church? She said, where else do you give 1 million Bible studies a week? You see, God knows where he's going to throw you, where you'll be most effective. 2008, Mark Finley called me. He said, we'd like to come and do an evangelistic meeting. I said, how much is it going to cost? He said, it's fully paid for. I use my favorite Hebrew word. Hallelujah. They said, well, we had to move from Minneapolis. There were a lot of changes. It wasn't right. Can we come to Orlando? You know, God was preparing me. Sometimes you say, oh, God, could I have an hour with a great Adventist evangelist? And God gave me 5 weeks. Pastor Mark said, Derek, just stay open. God may have something else he wants you to do. We were there 6.5 years. We loved it there. It was beautiful. We saw miracles happening, and God uprooted us and threw us to the General Conference Ministerial Association. Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because God knows where we will be most effective in his work. If he's going to throw you to Beckley for your pathway to health, if he's going to throw you on a mission project to Peru, God knows where you'll be most effective in his work. You pray the prayer. This is not our life to manage. It is his life to manage. 2 months ago today, is it June 11? 2 months ago today, I was walking into the auditorium at the General Conference, and a vice president tugged my shoulder and say, we want to talk to you. Took me to a room and said, we'd like to ask you to be the president of Hope Channel. And my first thought was, no. I like what I'm doing. It's safe. It's organized. Why, we could just cruise along for another few years until we retire. I was filming all that day. I went down. I said, I have to go. I'm filming a new television program. By the way, there's Pastor Kyle Allen walking in. He's one of our Hope Sabbath School team members. Pastor, good to see you. You're teaching this week, aren't you? I'm walking past the video wall on my way to the studio. And there I see Hope Sabbath School. Now, it could just be a coincidence it was there. And then I saw another program. It was one of my favorite preachers, Dwight Nelson. Anyone listen to Pastor Dwight? And he was interviewing with someone about preaching, and then the camera switched, and he was talking to me. And suddenly it dawned on me that God had been preparing me all of my life for that day. I called my mentor, Jack Blanco. Does anyone know Jack? What a man of God he is. I called him. I said, Jack, they've asked me to be the president of Hope Channel. I mean, that's like a global mission. There's 43 networks around the world, broadcasting in 40 different languages. I mean, this is how one of the ways that the message will go to the whole world. I said, Jack, please pray for me. I'm really happy in what I'm doing. But they've asked me to consider this ministry assignment. I just want God to ekbalo me, to throw me where he wants me to be. He prayed that day. It was the afternoon when he called me. He said, Derek, I had no idea what God wanted you to do. But he said, as I was praying this afternoon, the Spirit of God said to me, call Derek and tell him to take the assignment. Now, I want to tell you something. That's not the only reason I did. I was feeling conviction. My wife and I were praying. But God has ways of showing you what he wants you to do, doesn't he? If you listen. Well, I was staggering from that message, and I walked into one of the vice presidents of the General Conference. He had tears in his eyes. He said, Derek, I've been praying for you today, and I want to tell you this call is not coming from a committee. This call is coming from God. You see, when we give God permission, I want to tell you, I really needed to know that, because that week was one of the hardest weeks of my life. This is not an easy assignment. If we think we're doing this for ourselves, we're in the wrong place. But if we know God has put us there. You know, I learned about this radical prayer. And you say, well, Derek, where are you going to be 5 years from now? Well, I hope I'll be in heaven with Jesus, don't you? But I don't know where I'll be. What's your plan? My plan is simple. I want to be in the palm of his hand, wherever he wants me to be. But well, I learned about this radical prayer from basketball. I learned something about this prayer from basketball. Now, I didn't grow up in the United States. I grew up in England. They play different games there. They kick balls rather than throw them. But anybody here play basketball? Do we have some basketball players? Okay. I never was that good at basketball. You know, I'm not that tall. You notice that, right? But I've admired people who play basketball, Don. I mean, you know, it's quite skillful. Someone sent me a YouTube video some months ago, and it was a video of a game with 3 seconds to go. And the ball was in this court, and this team was down by 2 points. And there's just a couple of seconds left in the game. And the hoop is way down there. There's no time for him to dribble up the court and do a three-point shot from somewhere outside of the whatever you call that, you know. Or maybe a two-point layup and then tied an extra. He's just right here. And he does something that I don't remember seeing before. He takes the ball with 2 seconds to go and he heaves it over his shoulder. Do you know what they call that? It's called a hope shot. That's right. Who said that? It's a hope shot. You throw it and you hope it goes in, right? A hope shot. He threw the ball and time stood still. The folks over here are praying that it won't go in, because it will be a three-point shot from there, right? The game will be won. And these folks, they're praying that it will go in. And the ball's coming through the air, and all of a sudden, the buzzer sounds. But if you know anything about basketball, if the ball is already on its way down, it still counts, doesn't it? Is that right? It already passed the arc. It's on its way down. So now, with the clock frozen at zero, the ball is moving, and everyone is watching. And here on this YouTube video, the ball comes like this. Straight through the hoop. Well, the fellow over here, he's doing his little victory dance, and everybody's hugging him, and the people over here are crying because the game is lost. It's called a hope shot. But you know the amazing thing about Jesus, when we give him permission, Lord of the harvest, to throw us out, if he wants to throw us across the world, he'll make that shot every time. Amen? I mean, he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. It's not like, whoo, I wonder where he'll end up. I wonder where she'll go. No, he knows exactly. He can throw us across the planet and put us exactly where he wants us to be. Well, there's another shot in basketball. It's called a slam dunk. Do you know what a slam dunk is? I can't do one of those without a stepladder. But a slam dunk, if you've ever seen one, it's really quite impressive. as the basketball player. Are there any lady basketball players that can slam dunk a ball? Maybe there are a few, right? Okay, yeah, there are. I've got a witness here. So anyway, but I've seen a few men do it, and they're coming up here, maybe a pass, and then they have, I don't know, it seems like jets in their shoes. And they go airborne, you know, and they're like way up in the air, right? And they get the ball right over the hoop. And when they put the ball in the hoop, what direction is the ball going? Straight down. And sometimes when we pray this prayer, oh, Lord of the harvest, I see the harvest is great and the laborers are few. I beg you to throw out laborers into your harvest. And you have my permission to begin with me. It happened to me when I was pastoring in Orlando and I got my dream job offer. If you'd asked me 10 years before, what is your dream job offer, Pastor Larry, I'd have told you, oh, it would be to do this. I got that dream job offer while I was in Orlando. And I prayed, said, Lord, I give you permission to throw me out into your harvest. And the Lord said, okay, you ready? I said, yes, Lord. He said, stay right here. I was like, what? No, right here in Orlando. I had to call up my dream job and say, I'm sorry. They said, we'll wait for a year. I said, I'm sorry, I have to stay here. You see, when you give God permission to throw you, he might just go, stay in Jacksonville. You say, well, that didn't work. Stay in, you name your town. That didn't work. Absolutely. Because tomorrow morning when you get up, you say, why are you here? You say, I am here because the Lord of the harvest put me here. Amen? I'm not just here because this is where I choose to live. I'm here because I gave the Lord of the harvest permission and he put me where he wants me to be. That is how I want to live my life. How about you? Amen. You say, it's dangerous, Derek. When I see you next time, don't say to me, it's your fault. I was in South Africa last year. A man came up to me and he said, Derek, I was in the audience here in South Africa when you preached this sermon. You gave a call at the end for those who want to give God permission to throw them out into his harvest. He said, I responded to that call. He worked for the government in wildlife management. You know, they have safari parks and they manage wildlife there in South Africa, right? He worked for the government, wildlife management, but he heard the call of God to lay everything. He came forward to the front. And as he told me, as I was coming forward, I thought, how will my wife respond? And he looked and she was right by his side. Somebody say amen. She was right there by his side. Today, he is a leading evangelist and pastor in South Africa. He left his profession. Now, I'm not saying we'll all do that, no. But we'll all say, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I give you permission to throw me out into your harvest. And we will have the freedom of knowing that we are exactly where he wants us to be. My challenge to you tonight is simple. I wish I could be with you all week. And by the way, if you want that three-part series, I'll meet you at 9 o'clock right in the back there. But my challenge to you is simple. Have the courage not only to fill your heart with the Word of God and to pray boldly in the name of Jesus, but have the courage to say, Lord, throw me out into your harvest exactly where you want me to be. So what we're going to do, we're going to sing the song again. And while we're singing it, it should be there. Well, I'm going to have some help from the media people because I had the next slide to come up was the song again. But we lost one of our AV. I hope we can put the words back up because I'd like you to sing that song with me to close the meeting tonight. If the media person thinks he can find it, if he can't, we're going to just pray. All right? We're going to try. Someone's climbing up to higher ground. Do you know how to put the slides back on? And to start the music, if you don't, I'm going to pray. You know, one of the most important parts of the team is the AV. There we go. You know how to start the music for us? That's awesome. While we sing this song, if you in your heart want to just say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, Lord, whatever you want me to do, while we're singing, I want to invite you to just stand, okay? You don't all have to stand, but if that's the prayer of your heart, you're saying, Lord, throw me out into your harvest work. Show me what you want me to do. Put me exactly where you want me to be. If we can start the music, I think he's trying to do that right now. If not, we will pray. Let's pray together. We're bowing in prayer before you, Lord. You've challenged us because the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. You've challenged us to give you permission to cry out to you to throw out laborers into your harvest and to give you permission to begin with us. And so, Lord, tonight there's some men and women, young and old, here in this auditorium who have the courage to say, Lord, I give you permission to throw me out into your harvest. If that's you, I want you to stand right now. Lord, I give you permission. Just right where you are. You don't need to look around at anyone else. Lord, I want you to use me in your harvest work. I'm not just here to make a living or to enjoy life, but to be a faithful harvest worker. You stand right now. You say, Lord, throw me out into your harvest work, wherever you want me to go. Whatever you want me to do. For some of us, it may be Beckley in a month. For some of us, it may be to financially support what's happening there. For some, a mission trip. For others, to give Bible studies in their community. But Lord, you'll show us all what you want us to do. And when you show us, Lord, help us to just follow you. Help us to be the women of God and the men of God that you're calling us to be. And as we see miracles happen, as we see people come to Christ, to salvation, as we see lives changed, including our own, we will be quick to give you all of the praise and all of the glory. And we thank you and praise you tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Laborers are few. The laborers are few.
Are we singing?
The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
Sing. Therefore pray.
Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, into his harvest. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
Do you not say,
there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest.
You sound beautiful. Sing it together.
The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
Therefore pray
the Lord of the harvest send out laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers.
Therefore pray.
Therefore for praise the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Therefore praise the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers.
God's people said, you've heard our song, Lord God. We thank you for your word to us tonight. We thank you that it is your harvest and not ours, but that you have called us to join you in your harvest work. And, O Lord, on the day when Jesus comes in glory, we are praying that those we love and pray for, that those with whom we share the good news about Jesus, that many would be with us on that great day to welcome you with joy, and we will praise you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. I'll see some of you right back there at 9 o'clock. It's already 9 o'clock. I've got some special things for you back there. See you in a few minutes.